many different kinds of things as a bishop, but there's almost nothing that I value as much as coming to take services of confirmation. And that's because confirmations are celebrations of faith, of the growing and developing faith of our candidates. And encouraging faith is central to my mission as a bishop, and it's central to the purpose of our church. And so today is a special day in the life of you, our candidates, and your families, and also for me and for our church communities as we gather in appreciation to God for his grace and for your growing faith. We're going to think this morning about our gospel reading, the parable of the two sons, which is one of the most well-known stories that Jesus told. The story begins by introducing the father and his two sons. And the audience listening to Jesus would immediately think of other stories from the Old Testament about two sons. They might think, for example, of Jacob and Esau, and how the older son lost out through the trickery of his younger brother. Would this parable, they might wonder, would that be another Jacob story? Well, they'd have to wait and see. But to begin with, the younger son, he asks for his share of the inheritance. Now, this is shocking. Yet his father gives him half the estate. And what's worse, the son rather quickly turns his share of the property into cash. That's deeply dishonouring for the father, almost behaving as if his dad was already dead. And the son then leaves the father and sets out for a far country. He leaves the community that had nurtured him and goes away. Of course, there are many in our European cities who've done something similar, who've set out for a far country, who've left home and family in search of a better life. Maybe they were running away from events at home. Maybe they faced economic insecurity. Maybe they couldn't live any longer in their homelands because of war or violence. So the son sets out for a far country. Now, he's in a better position than many who leave home and go abroad because he has lots of money. But he's not good at managing his money. And we can imagine that as a rich foreigner, there were plenty of locals available who would help relieve him of his cash. And soon, the son has lost all his money on wild living. Then the trouble strikes. There is famine in the land. The young man has nothing left except himself, and his friends desert him. So he does what he can. He hires himself out as a farmhand and goes to feed the pigs. And of course, in Jewish religion and culture, that is the ultimate degradation. Spending your day in the company of unclean animals, longing to eat even the food which is fed to the pigs. And it's at this point that the young man comes to his senses. He realizes and remembers that he has a home, and that his life was in fact much better when he was at home with his dad. And so he decides to return. As he sees it, he's no longer worthy to be called a son. But maybe he could go back as a hired hand and work on his father's farm. And so he makes the long journey home. However, while the son is still far off, the father sees him and, filled with compassion, runs out to meet him, puts his arms around him and embraces him. And let's just note that. The son comes back in his tattered clothes, half-starved, and has to get to the family residence, through the narrow streets of the village, facing the raised eyebrows and disapproving stares of the family's friends. The father, by contrast, is clearly a wealthy man with lands and servants. In Eastern culture, the father does what no man in his position would do. He runs. He runs towards the son. Senior men do not run. And second, we note he's gone out himself to greet the son rather than await the son's arrival. And then even beyond that, he begins to honour this tearaway son, putting a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, and even killing for him the fatted calf. And we notice just how much the father suffers for the son. He's been humiliated by the son's outrageous departure with the inheritance. And now the father goes out to meet the son, sharing his son's humiliation and pain, bearing the contemptuous looks of the townspeople, doing all that he can to reassure the prodigal son that he's welcome home. And I suppose that any of us who are parents with children who have ever got into trouble away from home can appreciate the feelings of suffering love that the father knows. But there's another character in the story, isn't there? The older brother. And he's been quietly fuming. The older brother refuses to join in the celebrations. He's got little sympathy for the younger sibling, and he's outraged that his father should show him such unmerited favour. And finally he blurts out, "Listen!" It doesn't get much more contemptuous than that. "Listen! All these years I've been working for you like a slave, and you've never even given me a goat to celebrate with my friends. And now this son of yours who's wasted your cash on prostitutes comes home and you kill the fatted calf. What about me?" And there are many who feel like the older brother, aren't there? Even in our churches. Those who've worked long and hard voluntarily in the background, maybe not thanked as much as they should have been, whilst all the fuss seems to be made over the newcomers or those who make a dramatic turnaround at a homecoming. And so the task of the father is to be reconciled to the older son too. And that also requires forbearance and love and compassion. "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. My precious child, you are always with me. But it is necessary that we celebrate, for this brother of yours who was lost is now found." Far from being fearful and envious, the older brother too should be rejoicing that the one who was lost is now found. And there the parable stops, leaving the focus on the older son, with us not knowing actually how the older son will respond to this offer of grace and acceptance. Well, today in confirmation we are welcoming new communicant members of our church family. And I wonder if you are candidates, when you think about that parable, do you see yourselves more like the younger son or the older son? Sometimes people come to a living faith after a dramatic conversion experience, a turnaround experience, and they come back to faith. Other times, people's faith grows more gradually. They grow up in faith. They've always been with God. Well, either way, today our hope and prayer for you, our candidates, is that today will be a moment when you know God's reconciling and embracing love. There's a very powerful moment in the experience of the younger son when he's greeted by the father and embraced and kissed by him. And at that point, all the mistakes and the wrongdoings and the big mistakes that he'd made in his life fall away. And he knows that he's welcomed home. And I hope today will be a time when you know the Holy Spirit working in you to reassure you powerfully of God's love for you today and in the days to come, and whatever might befall you in the future. That you'll be able to look back on this day at St. James's Boscombe as a time when you knew for sure the love of God for you. Because there's nothing that sustains us in our lives so much as that kind of a powerful memory. For all of us, this is the season of Lent. Easter will soon be upon us. And in this Lenten season, and in our parable today, we are reminded again very powerfully of the long-suffering love of a God who, like the good father of a family, works patiently and tirelessly to reconcile his children and to rebuild family life. We're reminded today that while we were still far off, God met us in his Son Jesus Christ and came out to meet us. And as we prepare to celebrate Holy Week, we recall and give thanks for the powerful love of a God whose Son is crucified to bring us home. Amen.